Trust the Lord this morning as He speaks to you. Isaiah chapter 40, starting at verse number 28, very familiar portion of scripture. I'm reading from the King James Version of the Word of God. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. The word of the Lord is sent to instruct us, to correct us, to comfort and encourage us, to believe God, to trust Him, and then seek to be doers, to get in line with the will of God. For the worshipers here at the Church of God in Richmond, you know, we talk about this all the time. We're constantly encouraging us to believe God and allow Him to change and to transform our lives, our circumstances, and our situations. You know, many times when you're going through things, if you turn to the Word, you can find a word of comfort. You can find something that will encourage you to hold on, to persevere, not to lose hope, not to be discouraged, or not to stay down, but to look up and lift up your eyes, knowing that God is with you and He'll bring you through. Right? In the 41st chapter and the 10th verse, the same writer, Isaiah, tells the believers not to fear, not to worry, for God is with them. Be not dismayed, he says, for I am your God. He says, I will strengthen you. Yes, I will uphold you. Yes, I will hold you up with my righteous right hand, the right arm of his power and strength and authority and sovereignty. God promised them that he would keep them and he would bring them through. In the portion that we read, this whole 40th chapter, God through the prophet Isaiah is comforting and encouraging Israel. When you get a chance, go back and read it from the first verse. You see that God is reminding them that he is their God, and that even though he's been angry with them, and even though they've disappointed him, that God is still going to turn their circumstances around. He reminded them that he and he alone was God, and that there was no other God but him. He also reminded them that many times man would look away from God to other things and to other people. And in the course of doing that, sometimes they would pursue other so-called gods, which in reality weren't gods at all, but they were really just man's constructs, man's ways of fashioning and forming systems to comfort them, to pacify them until they died. But God revealed himself as the true God, the only true God, and he wanted them to know that. He wanted to remind his people of that. While you're searching for other things, I want to remind you that I am the only true and the only living God. That man's sojourn in this life is brief. Brothers and sisters, no matter how long we live, if we're fortunate enough to live to be 80, 90, 100, 101, and beyond that, it's still brief in comparison to eternity. And so he wanted man to know that his life was as grass. His life, there's a brevity of life in this human existence. But that there is something beyond that that God wants to take his people to. Then he reminded them that God is the one who was going to return and restore them and feed them like a good shepherd and carry even the young lambs, the Bible says, in his bosom. He was going to be the one to comfort them and provide for them and lead them and direct them in life. And he wanted them to return to him and focus on his provision. And it's so much more there, but just in the last section, I want to lift that up again, because he closes this part of this statement by reminding them, haven't you known or haven't you heard that the everlasting God, the God of all creation, the Lord of the ends of the earth, he never faints, he never grows weary, and there is no searching of his understanding. No one can search out. No one can find out, you know, how God became God and how he knows everything. No, in another place it says, who has been his counselor? Who was the one that advised God? Who did God go to when he needed some help? Nobody. There was no one. There is no one. He and he alone is God. All-knowing, ever-present, eternal, from everlasting to everlasting, he and he alone is God. He doesn't need counselors. He doesn't need advisors. He doesn't need any help. He doesn't need anyone to try to correct him. He's perfect. He's righteous. He is God. When you stop and think about that, why would we keep trying to do things our own way when we have access to someone who knows everything, who is perfect, who knows the end of a thing before it ever begins, who knows the beginning, and why would we want to try to keep doing stuff on our own instead of trusting in God to lead and direct us? I know there are people who have questions. Is there a God? Is God real? Who is this God that we talk about in churches and other people talk about in their mosque and other people talk about in their synagogues and other people talk about? Who is this God? Who is this creator? Who is this? I know those are questions that people have. And God has no problem with questions. He wants people to seek him out. The Bible says he rewards those that diligently seek him. He wants people to inquire. He wants people to search for him. In another place he says, if you seek me, you will find me. So God has no problems with questions. He has no problem with people being inquisitive. He has no problem with none of us. He knows our character. He knows our nature. He knows our ways. He knows everything. He knows you're going to doubt some stuff. He knows you're going to have some issues with religion. He knows all that stuff. And he factored all of that in our journey of pursuing to know him. So God isn't cut off guard. He's not angry. He's not upset. He wants him, because if you keep seeking, you'll find him. Even people that claim there is no God and who set out to prove that there is no God, he's all right with that too, because he's able to persuade even the most fierce detractor and unbeliever. He's not fazed. He's not fazed by that. He wants you to inquire. In fact, it's interesting, in the book of Revelation, John wrote, he says, God wants people that's either hot or cold. But those that are lukewarm, he says, I don't have any taste for that. He says he'll spit those out of his mouth. Isn't that amazing? God can deal with people that are on fire for him. He can deal with people that are cold to him. But those that are kind of in the middle, it's distasteful. I mean, he can deal with them too, but it's distasteful. Because he wants some people that are either going to seek him out, that are going to get to know him and submit to him and embrace him, or just throw up their hands and say, I'm done with this. But don't be wishy-washy. Christians, don't be wishy-washy Christians. Don't be lukewarm Christians. He says that those that are double-minded, James wrote, they're unstable in all their ways. Don't be double-minded. Don't be dabbling in this. Either make a decision that I'm going to trust God and I'm going with him, or either I don't want none of this stuff and I'm going to live my life the way I want to live it. But don't be vacillating in between. Now, I know we're on a journey, and God is patient through the journey, but he wants some sincerity. He wants somebody that's really going to want to find this thing out. Now, he's patient all the way to the last breath. And if he needs to revive you to give you another minute, he'll do that too. Because he loves us. And the Bible says his desire is that none should perish, but that all should come to eternal life. So he's patient. I thank God for that. But make a decision. I'm going all the way, and I'm going to be on fire for God. Listen to what he says. Haven't you known? Haven't you heard that I, the everlasting God, the Father, the creator of the ends of the earth, I don't faint. I don't get tired. I don't get weary. There's no searching of my understanding. He, God, gives power to the faint, to the weak, to those that have no might left, those who've gotten to the place where they think they can't go on. God will increase their strength. See, he wants his people to know that I'm with you. And no matter how low you've fallen, how bad it's gotten, how depressed you are, I am able to strengthen you, to raise you up, to bring you out, to deliver you, to restore you. But he wants us to trust him. Wants some people to trust him. He says, I'll strengthen you if you have no might. I'll increase your strength. Because this is a reality, brothers and sisters. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall utterly fall. And we see that every day. It's not just the old that die. Young people are dying too. It's not just the old that get sick. Young people get sick too. It's not just the old that are weak and their bodies are breaking down. But there are a lot of young people that their bodies are weak. Their bones won't grow. They're sick. They have chronic things. So God wants us to know that in this condition that the world finds itself in, we can ill afford just to think, well, I'll do what I want to do until I get old. And then I'll call on the Lord to help me, and God will help me and deliver me, and now I can enjoy the rest of my life. We'd better get serious about him now. If you want the life that God wants you to have, and if you really want a good life, you better get serious about the things of God now and begin to trust him to be who he says he is in our lives. Because young people faint and utterly fall. He assures them, but those that wait upon the Lord, those that trust in the Lord. Those that make a decision, I'm going to serve God. He says, those are the ones whose strength, he says, I will renew their strength. I'll build them up. I'll refresh them. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They'll be able to soar again. You really want to live? You want to live? We need to live in Christ. We need to make a decision. If I'm going to live, I'm going to live for God. I want the best life. I know I say it over and over again, but I mean, you know, some people seem like they don't. I mean, they're just happy, go lucky. You know, however it turns out today, I'm all right. I'll just roll with it. Whatever, going tomorrow, you know, I'll just roll with it. It's all right. Things ain't good, but it's all right. Old folks used to have this saying. You ask them, how you doing today? Oh, fairly middling. What? Fairly middling meaning somewhere in the middle. I ain't all that good. It ain't all that bad. It's just fair to middle. It's somewhere in the middle. Huh? And they're all right. I mean, that's their existence. But God doesn't want you fairly middling. He wants you on top. He wants us soaring like eagles. It's amazing how many times the Bible mentions the majestic eagle. Because God wants his people to get that image. I didn't make you a chicken. I didn't make you to cluck around in the chicken coop. I made you to soar high upon the heights like an eagle. And if you're in life just clucking around, you're not living up to the potential that God wants us to experience. If we're just in the mire, as they do, wallowing around in the pig pen like the prodigal son, we're not living up to the life that God wants us to live. So he gives them the image of the eagle, majestic, soaring high above the mundane, high above mediocrity. Soaring majestically with vision clear to see for miles ahead. That's how God wants us to live. Another one, it talks about the pinions and the wings of the eagle. And one of the characteristics of the eagle, we've mentioned this some time ago, is that the eagle goes through these seasons of molting, where all of the old feathers and things fall off, and they get brand new feathers that enable them to continue to carry out their course and to fly high. God renews us. The psalmist says he will renew your youth, Psalm 103, like the eagles. Think about that. God says he will renew our youth like that of the eagles, which means all this old stuff is supposed to be falling off and being replaced with newness, with that which is functioning healthy and perfectly. If we don't have that, we should start believing God for that. You sure the Bible says that? I'm positive the Bible says that. Turn to Psalm 103. Yes, I'm positive the Bible says that. Verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Verse 5, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. No matter what state we're in, God wants to renew your strength as we wait upon him. And as we've said before, that wait isn't an impatient wait. Oh God, when you gonna show up? Oh God, I've been waiting on you a long time. Oh God, when you gonna come to? No, the wait is when we're gonna serve God. I'm gonna serve him with gladness while I'm waiting for the manifestation. I'm gonna be about my Father's business while I'm waiting for that change to come. I'm gonna serve others who need the help while my help cometh from the Lord. That's the waiting that he's talking about. Those that wait upon the Lord, those that trust the Lord, those that will serve the Lord will renew their strength. Yeah. It's time for us to mount up with wings like an eagle and begin to soar in the spirit. And begin to soar in the natural. It is a process, just like that molting of the eagle is a process. But the process goes more smoothly when we submit to it. Amen. The psalmist would have said, Selah. I remember those times, and I see it now in some, but I'm not always in those settings, where, you know, you young ladies used to get your hair done at the stove, and they had that little hot iron thing that they used to put on the stove, and that thing get hot, and then they take and part that hair, and ooh, you burn my scalp, and you burn, and they're working on that thing, and you get fidgety, and the little girl be fidgeting, and they be all time, and mama said, if you just sit still, it won't take so long. Right? If you keep squirming and keep kicking, it's going to take longer. Well, that's the way it is in the spirit, brothers and sisters. If we submit to the will of God, it won't take as long. But if we kick and squirm and fight against the Holy Spirit working, it's just going to take longer. Amen. All right. So God wants to renew our strength. He says he shall mount up with wings like an eagle. Another place says he shall run and not be weary. He shall walk and not faint. Run and not be weary. Walk and not faint. You remember when the children of Israel were going in finally to take possession of the land, the promised land, after wandering around for 40 years? And Joshua started apportioning to the tribes their respective inheritance. Who comes to Joshua? Caleb. Caleb comes to Joshua. Caleb is what, 85 years old. He says, I'm as strong today as I was when we left Egypt. Now remember, if I'm right, he was around 40 when he left Egypt. 40 years in the wilderness. Now they've been going in fighting the kings that were in the land for around 5 years. So somewhere there. So he says, I'm stronger now than I was when we left Egypt. He says, and if God is with me, I shall prevail. So give me my mountain. I'm ready to go up and take possession of what God has given me. I'm 85, but I'm strong. I'm 85, but I don't want no handouts. If I gotta go and fight the enemy, let's go. Let's get it on. I'm ready. I wonder how many in here at 85 can say honestly, I'm stronger today than I was 40 years ago. Now you might be smarter, but I don't know if you're stronger, but you may be. But I just believe the word of God is calling his people to a place where I'm going to believe him for it. Amen. If Sarah can give birth at 90 and Abraham at 100, I'm just going to believe him for it. It's a couple of ladies in here, pick with me from time to time. You know, they ready to get married and all of that. Don't y'all keep playing. Because if you're serious, God will do it. All right, so he says in the other portion, as I said, they shall run and not be weary, walk and not faint. Along with that goes all the other things that strength does for you. You can stand and not be wobbly and not be off balance. You can sit and not have to lay down every 5 minutes. You know, there are some people, they can only sit up for a few minutes. They don't have enough strength to even sit up for extended periods of time. Folks, I'm not going to stay on this long because we're almost done. But when I prayed about what to share with the saints today, you know, the Holy Spirit was just saying there are some practical things that my people need to hear. See, the things of God are practical. The things of God are for living, right? Not just studying. We are to study them, but we are to study to do, right? We are to study to do, not just study to know. Amen. Say, we're not studying just to know stuff. We're not studying just to learn things, but we're studying to do what God would have us to do so that we can have what God wants us to have and be who God has purposed us to be and accomplish what God wants us to accomplish. So I study to do. I'm careful to do. I'm meditating to do. I'm learning to do. So that, as James said, we can be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving ourselves. Amen. Because as we move on in the rest of this year, the Lord allows us to see another year. We move into that new year. If we're not doing some things differently than what we've been doing, we're going to be in the same place that we're in now, which means if you're in debt now, if we don't do some things differently, you're going to be in debt then. If you're sickly now, if we don't do some things differently the way God and the Spirit instructs us, chances are if you're not dead, you'll be sickly then. And things typically don't just go away. Typically. Now they can. I mean, all things can. They can. Some people have had stuff and it just was gone. So it can, but that's not the typical way things work. Things either get better or they get worse. Seldom do they remain the same. When we are walking with God, He wants things to get better for His people, not worse. He wants you to be overcomers. Right, and not going under. But we got to trust God and do some things differently. So I could give you a whole lot of scriptures and go through a whole lot of stuff. But folks, if we don't make some decisions, I don't need a whole lot. I just need to do some of what I got. I need to do, remember some weeks ago, those who were here, I told you during one of the messages by the Spirit to take an inventory of what you got and write it down. I'm not going to ask who did it. I'm not going to ask who did it. I'll just say this. When God speaks to us, we need to listen. I'm not going to go around and check your homework. Amen. I got my own homework. Is that all right? I mean, I got my own homework. The very same things that you get, I get. The very instructions that I get, you get. So I got my own homework. Paul said, else after I have preached to others, I myself might be a castaway. I'm subject to the same truth. I ain't got time to check your homework. Did you do your homework? Did you do what I told you to do? A sower soweth the word. I'm sowing the word. I've determined that I'm good ground. It's up to you to determine what kind of ground you are. My job is just to sow it, sow it, sow it, sow it. You got to decide, I'm going to be good ground. I'm going to receive this word, and by the grace of God, it's going to bring forth a harvest, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. Right? So God is speaking, and he's saying these are practical things. Start trusting me. Study to do. Read the scriptures with a determination. God, speak to me. And as you speak to me, I'm going to trust you to do what you're instructing me to do. I can't give you 10 points. Because my 10 points for me may be different than your 10 points to get you where God wants you to get. Same objective, delivered, set free, healed, restored, blessed, prosperous, different process. Make sense? So I've seen preachers, I've probably done it in the past, they go down step one, do this, step two, do this, step three, do this. It's fine. It's scriptural. But that may or may not be your process to get from where you are to where God is taking you. So you take the principles. Hear the word. Trust God. Do what he tells you to do. Don't get weary in well-doing. Persevere. But if you keep going and don't faint, you're going to reap the harvest. Never give up. Don't quit. Keep persevering. He that overcometh, to him he will receive those blessings and promises. But I assure you, God wants you healthy. God wants you out of debt. God wants us fulfilling our purpose. I can assure you of that from the word of God. God wants your family whole. God wants your children acting right. God wants to protect them when they're away from home, when they're at school, when they're out with their friends. God wants to keep a hedge of protection around them. I can assure you God wants your marriage to be happy and fruitful. I can assure you God wants you out of debt, wants you to be the lender and not the borrower. I can assure you that God has a plan for your life greater than your job or your occupation. And I can assure you, you don't have to be a negative statistic like the world has. You can be one of those the world would call exceptions, but not in the kingdom of God. So it's really about taking these simple things to heart. And then trusting God to take me along my path. Okay? I think we're just about done. I think there's one other place I want to go, and I'm just waiting to hear it. But I think it's there. I really do think it's there. I really do think it's there. You know? Now, sometimes I get up here on Sunday mornings, and I'll just let you in on a secret. Don't tell nobody. And I would imagine that some folks would probably seem like, Elder, he ain't studied nothing, he ain't prepared nothing, he ain't done nothing. But I promise I do. I promise I do. Because I learned some time ago, seldom do I study to preach. Seldom do I study to preach. I study to learn, to grow, to do. And then as the Holy Spirit directs, I preach out of what God has put in. And so sometimes, you know, I have a whole bunch of stuff, you know. Sometimes it falls out the Bible, you know. You see all these little papers and scriptures and stuff. It ain't like I ain't been doing no preparation or nothing. I mean, you know, folks, Pastor must not have studied today. Let me grab some more. I think I took the rest of them out and stuff because they kept falling on the floor one week. Well, I'll show you this page. Let me show you this page. So it ain't like I don't have stuff, you know, so. I just want them to understand that. But the point is, sometimes I get in my office and I'm saying, well, Lord, what are we going to talk to the people about today? And I hear my spirit just trust me. See, I got to live by faith too. And then sometimes I come out the door and singing and I stand up here and I said, well, Lord, what are we going to talk about today? He said, well, just trust me. I said, okay, you got it. I'm with you, you know. And so it's not always comfortable, but I've been doing it long enough that I'm getting more comfortable with it. And so don't feel like everything has to be scripted. Sometimes we don't know, well not sometimes, all the time, unless the God tell you, we don't know who's going to be here from Sunday to Sunday, but God does. We don't know what a person came directed by God to hear, but God does. And if I'm rigid to what I've written and what I've prepared and what I've studied, then I may miss. I may give a good word. You know, I may give a sound word because I've studied it out. And I've done all the Greek and all the exegesis and eisegesis, all that. I've done all that stuff and I've studied it out. But I may miss that person that God sent for a specific word, and because I wouldn't let the Holy Spirit take me there. I wouldn't let the Holy Spirit take me there because I had to stay on my script. It may be biblically sound. It may be scripturally accurate. It may bless the people because the word of God is good. But somebody missed something they needed because the vessel would not allow the Spirit of God to move. So just a word of encouragement to preachers, to all of us who are serving. Don't be so rigid. Prepare. Submit it to God. Search it out. Do your homework. Do your work. But then let the Holy Spirit speak to the people of God. And then you leave at the end, sometimes feeling inadequate. Sometimes feeling like you missed it, but then pleased that I did what I thought the Lord wanted me to do. And in the end, isn't that what it's really about? God, I did what you wanted me to do. I said what you wanted me to say, and I'm leaving the results up to you. So in closing this morning, brothers and sisters, I believe I've said what the Lord wants me to say. And I'm leaving the results up to Him to move and to get me at that place where He wants me to take whatever nuggets I receive from the Word today. And then go forth and do what the Lord would have me to do. Last point on that. Some people I know, they don't listen to their messages. I listen to mine. Because I want to, I'm not critiquing it. I just want to make sure I'm hearing what the preacher said, that I ain't miss nothing. That's why I encourage you to get a copy of the message and hear, then share, because I want to make sure you got it. And I listen to it because I want to make sure I got it too. And sometimes I listen to it, I say, ooh, that was good. I'm serious. Sometimes I listen to the tapes in the car. I say, well, that's a good word right there, Apostle. I say, you better preach. I said, that's a good word. God, I receive that word in Jesus' name. But I listen to others. I listen to Elder Jones this summer. I said, that's a good word, Elder. I said, you better preach. You better teach, Elder. I said, that's a good word. I listened to Minister Tucker. I said, oh, that's a good word. I said, that's a good word from Psalm 91. I said, I like that. That's a good word. I listened to Minister Gloria over the summer. I said, Minister Gloria, that was a good word. Because I want to be a hearer and a doer of the word as well. So anyway, we're done. I did find that scripture I wanted to give you before we wrap up this morning. Now, turn with me quickly to Proverbs 22. We're going to end up here. Let me get there, make sure I got it. Did I say Proverbs 22? I think I meant Proverbs 27. Proverbs 27, this is where we're going to end up. Now, I mentioned some months ago, weeks ago, that, you know, we're headed for another downturn in the economy, and I'm sure those of you that listen to some of the news and financial reports, you're hearing them talking about some of those things now. And they even made a report, I heard it maybe a few weeks ago, that many of the wealthiest people, the billionaires, have begun to withdraw, take certain money out of the system, out of the stock market, and they're moving their money to safer places. I mean, these are mega billionaires, excuse me. They're beginning to move money to different places. And this is the last thing I want to share with you. I hope you're listening. We'll wrap up. In the world's systems, they continue because they have different classes of people. You have the wealthy, you have the well-off. Here you're supposed to have a middle class. Then, of course, you have the poorer people, those that are less financially sound, and so on. Many of those systems are able to continue because those with the power keep that class system in place. They don't profit unless there are some poor people. And there are some middle class people that can keep the system going and keep them wealthier. So the information that they have access to, they get the information before other people, those down the line, get it. It's purposeful that way. Just a couple of minutes, I promise. So by time you get it, you know, you read the stock reports and you read, by the time you get it, it's too late to act on it. Because they've already got it. They've already done what they're going to do with it. And now they leak it and they allow it to get out. So people that aren't discerning will begin to jump on it. Let's do what the billionaires are doing. Let's do what the millionaires are doing. It's too late. They're going to take your money. It happens all over the world. By the time the news reaches the masses, it's too late. And people will come and tell you, I've got some insider secrets. It's too late. They're not going to let anything out until they want it out. What do you mean, Apostle? It's financial, but it's spiritual. So stay with me. after they've made all the money, the big money, then they leak it. And by the time you get it, let's run out and buy it. The price is inflated. And so they're going to get some more money out of those unsuspecting people that think they got a, you know, some insider stuff. So God wants us to be wise and begin to let him show us what he wants us to see and how to maneuver. Don't follow Warren Buffett. Don't follow Bill Gates. Don't follow the wealthy, super wealthy, you know, Bezos and all these guys. Follow the Spirit of God. Follow the Holy Spirit. And let him direct us. Because what the Holy Spirit will do, he will show you things before they get it. And he'll show you the plans and the schemes that they have to get what little some people have. And then while they're going one track and people are following them, no, the Holy Spirit will say, no, you go this route. You do this with your money. You do this with what little you have in your hands, and I will bless it and prosper it. So let me give you this scripture and then we'll wrap up. Proverbs 27, verse number 20. Three. Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks and look well to your herds. Now, ain't many of us in here got flocks and herds. But he's talking about your substance, your wealth, your finances, your possessions, your savings account, your money. Be diligent to know what you got. Be diligent to look over what you have in your possession, in your hands. Pay attention to the money you got and what you're doing with it. See what you got coming in, saints, and where it's going. And then begin to make steps to make sure I'm taking it from places that are stealing from me. I'm taking it from places that aren't helping, and I'm putting it in the places where the Holy Spirit is. That it, I don't care if it's $5. If it's $5, am I giving it to Starbucks? Or am I putting it where God wants me to put it? You need to hear this. I don't care how much it is, it's the principle of the thing. Am I using it on my vices? You know, my alcohol, my cigarettes, my weed, my rims, my plant, you know, am I using it on this stuff? Or am I putting it where the Holy Spirit is directing me what to do with it? Yeah, I said we. And the only reason I said we, because the last time I said reefer, Brother Darrell checked me. He said, Pastor, they don't say reefer no more. I don't care what they call it, it's the same stuff. Same vice. You can call it reefer, weed, herb, cannabis. You call it whatever you want to call it. It's the same stuff. Oh, wow. Oh, man. Apostle talking about weed. See, God's trying to help his people. And if he can help the saints, then we can go home and we can help others that are connected to us that may not be saved yet. But they are part of our family and a part of our community. And they are people that we love and they are people that we interact with. But they are struggling and they are dealing with issues that they can't seem to get out of. So God wants to show us the way out so that then we can help lead others out. Does that make sense? So if we're still doing that stuff, he wants to deliver us so now we can show others the way that they can get out. Ain't nothing wrong with a little medicinal marijuana. Probably not. But all of it ain't medicinal. And I'll tell you this, and I'm going to stop this one. White folks can make money with their cannabis stores. But you can get caught with some and go to jail. I'll let y'all chew on that one a little while. So don't think you can do everything that other people do. We have to do what God leads us to do. We just have to. Hear the verses, the other verse. For riches, verse 24, are not forever. And doth the crown endure to every generation? The hay appeareth, the tender grass showeth itself, the herbs of the mountains are gathered, the lambs are for your clothing, the goats are for the price of the field, and you shall have goats and milk enough for your food and the food for your household, for the maintenance for your maidens. God will take care of us when we attend to what he has given us. Pay attention to what you got. Handle your business. Heads of household, don't waste your money on frivolous things. Take care of your business. Do what God tells you to do. You got children, take care of them children. Take care of your children. Leave them an inheritance. Not just the children you got with your new wife or your new husband, but the ones you left behind with the other family. Take care of your children. Because God wants to bless you to be a blessing. And it's time for us to stand in our place. Time for us to get serious about this thing. Time for us to do it God's way and begin to change generations while we await the return of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Happy homecoming.